And joining me right now here on the phone line to talk about a great concert coming up here in the listening area on May 21st, the Thunder on Cocoa Beach, starring Generation Radio. This guy is going to be there. He's a longtime musician. He's in the band. You might know his name. He was also in Chicago. His name is Jason Scheff. Jason, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How excited are you to be coming here to the Space Coast to perform for listeners?
Buddy, first of all, we just love the area so much, and everybody's so excited. The band, of course, first and foremost, but just putting the word out there and hearing the fans talking about it, because, you know, you've got several iconic bands that make up our group and the fan bases of all of them. And some of them co-mingle, most of them do, but it's just incredible to see the energy of people excited to come and check it out.
Okay, for some of our listeners who don't know, what is Generation Radio? I mean, what are you guys all about?
Generation Radio is a band that Jay DeMarcus of Rascal Flatts and I put together. Jay and I met back in 2002, and Rascal Flatts was just starting to take off, and he sent me a letter telling me that Chicago is the reason that he plays music, and that particularly my era of the band from 1985 on was really what inspired him. And I was just blown away, because I always felt, you know, I came in and replaced one of the greatest singers in the world, Peter Cetera, and I added my own, you know, hits to the legacy in the 80s, but I always felt like, yeah, you're the guy that just kind of came in afterwards, only to find this generation of guys that are 10 years younger than me saying, you're the guy. So I was like, wow, man. So we became great, great friends, best friends, and have made a lot of music over the years. He produced Chicago 30. Mm-hmm. And we always talked about when things, you know, slow down a little bit, or, you know, we do different things, we need to put a band together. So that's exactly what's happened. You know, when I was able to come home in 2016 and Jay, Rascal Flatts has, you know, kind of just been put on hold here, we said, let's do this, man. So he said, why don't we talk to Dean Castronovo, who was, you know, in Journey and Bad English. And he was, you know, involved in a few different bands, wasn't in Journey at the time. We said, absolutely. So we got together and brought in Thomas Yankton and Chris Rodriguez, who are two incredible guitar playing, singing freaks, to round out the band. And we just started recording songs, and it was amazing. Finished it up and then said, let's book some gigs. And we started just, you know, it was during the pandemic, so there really wasn't a lot that was available to do, but we started doing just a couple little things, and it just, word of mouth started taking off, including, you know, a couple videos out there of the band. And of course, of course, Journey saw us and they said, Dean, we need you to come back and play with us. So he's back in Journey, which is amazing. We're just so happy, you know, that's really where he belongs. And so we got Steve Ferroni, the great Steve Ferroni, who was with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers for 25 years, as well as played on every hit record that you can imagine, you know, starting with Cut the Cake, Average White Band. He was the drummer in Average White Band, and dear, dear friend of mine. And so we brought him into the fold. He's in the band now. So we have Tom Petty songs that we play in our set, Rascal Flatts, Journey, Chicago, and it's just awesome, man.
I was going to ask you that, and we're here with Jason Scheff with Generation Radio. Do you guys have original songs that you're going to be performing as well at the event?
Not for this one, although our record is coming out. Our record's coming out in August, this album that we recorded. And the first single will be out in July, but we don't really have anything worked up just yet. So this show will just be nothing but all the hits that you expect from all four of these iconic bands. And a couple of things that we didn't record, but just are so fun to play, and these guys do so well. You know, Chris Rodriguez was with Kenny Loggins for a long time, so we play I'm All Right, which ironically has a lot of – you stick around as long as we have, and all of a sudden everybody's been involved over the years, because I'm All Right had Tristan Bowden playing drums, who was with Kenny, who ended up playing with Chicago with me for 25 years, 26 years, something like that. So Generation Radio is a really great mixture of all of these experiences that we've had making music, being fans of this music, as well as, you know, the fan base. Mm. It's just a great walk down memory lane, but we will be having new music. Unfortunately not for this one, though.
I understand. Okay, Chicago fans, do they come up to you, especially like if you're coming to this concert here in Cocoa Beach, they're like, look, you better play this song. It's my favorite. Do they get demanding, Jason? That's my question.
They do, but we, you know, especially with with the pandemic and everything, we didn't really have a lot of interaction with people before the shows. So we didn't give them the chance to say, you better play this song. That's a great scenario, though. That's what I'd do, coming to see a band. But we really, especially since there's four entities, right? Mm. And we really make sure that you know, since it's limited, it's not an entire evening of one band and one sound, that we pick the biggest and the most, you know, that people are going to want to hear as part of that set. Nobody's been disappointed yet, but, you know, social media is out there so people can voice their, hey, I wish you guys would play this song, blah, 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 and we're always open to hearing about that.
As a longtime musician, you've done this, like, your whole life pretty much. What's your advice for the younger generation that wants to be a professional musician like you are?
One of my favorite questions, because a lot of times a parent will come up, it's changed so much, you know, since when I started out, and a parent will come up and say, how do I motivate my kid to practice or play? They're so talented. And I tell them, no one had to motivate me, you know? So if you love this and you can't stand not doing it, that's really, you don't have to try and think about anything else. You won't be able to be stopped. And if you don't love it, or it's just a part-time thing, that's awesome. Embrace that. Don't worry about that you should be doing more than you're doing. I think it's just to be as natural as possible. Say, you know, I wake up in the morning and something makes me want to play some music or sing some music or even listen to it. And then that's really what's important. And then but to be more specific, you know, when you say, what do I have to say to somebody who's starting out? So let's just say that they, you know, they live and breathe this stuff. Just keep doing it and work with as many different people as you possibly can, because that way you're going to be adaptable. You know, when somebody works just by themselves all the time, and there's a lot of that going on because the technology is there, it's so fun to be able to walk into a room and be able to be agile musically, to be, you know, people don't understand that. But when you are versatile, man, that's attractive. So I would encourage that. Unless somebody really is a one-man show and they don't care about connecting with people, then just spend as much time as you – there are those out there, right? So spend as much time as you can honing your craft. Get the reps in, I always say, vocally. My mother – pounded on me, you got to sing. And I said, I don't want to sing. I didn't think that was for cool guys, right? And I didn't really think that I had much of a voice, too, because I was trying to sing baritone, and I'm a tenor. So I was trying to sing too low, and there was no support down there. But when on my 21st birthday, she tricked me and bought me a vocal lesson, and it was expensive. That was the trick. So I had to go take it rather than blow it off. And I thought I was going to walk in and the great Seth Riggs was the teacher, and he was teaching everybody at the time, the early 80s, Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, the guys in Earth, Wind & Fire, Barbara Streisand. I thought I was going to walk in, he was going to hear me and go, isn't that cute? A stage mother throwing their kid at me, but it lit me up. He obviously heard something in me. He told me, he showed me, you're a tenor, not a baritone, so let me just start going through some exercises that are going to strengthen that bridge, basically, going up into those notes. And it lit me up. I literally left the vocal lesson thinking, not only am I coming back, but how often? And so I got the reps in, and that's the other thing I was saying to do. You know, a lot of times, especially with competition shows, these people that are talented, they'll get this opportunity, but they're not ready to go out on the road and you know, do multiple nights, and their voices are gone. Seth Riggs told me, you came to me at the right time, 21 years old, so by the time an opportunity comes, you'll be ready for it. Well, that was 2 short years later when Chicago mm-hmm. heard my tape and asked me to come audition for them, and in some ways, I was absolutely not ready. You know, was I ready to walk out on stage and be the front man? No way. But they believed in me. I was ready to record. That's why I got the gig, because they heard my recordings. And I was always, you know, from the time, like, after I started studying voice, was able to record, and it was world class. That's what got me into the band. But having those reps, so that when I went out on the road and I was nervous and we were really, you know, I was trying to get my sea legs, I had technique. So that's why all these years later, I've still got a voice, and that was Seth saying, get in and get the reps in, get the experience to be ready for it.
That is a great answer. We're here with musician Jason Scheff. He's going to be with his band Generation Radio there at Lori Wilson Park, Thunder on Cocoa Beach. It's going to start at 6 p.m. on May 21st. All right, you bring up your audition with Chicago. You get that phone call. How nervous were you to go to this audition and try to prove yourself as a 23-year-old?
Well, I'll tell you what. The fact that my tape got into their hands and they called and said that they think I'm the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that having the confidence of them, and there was not a cattle call. Apparently, they were talking to Mickey Thomas of Starship at the time, which is, I thought, okay, there's no way I'm going to get the gig. But Howard Kaufman, who was managing the band, took a meeting with me, and he gave me a piece of advice that I've passed on to up-and-coming artists, too, is that he looked at me when he saw that I was kind of sinking, when he said, it's between you and Mickey Thomas. And he said, Jason, they want it to work with you, meaning it's your game to lose. So just go in there and don't sabotage and don't self-destruct. I went in and just did the best I could, but knowing that they wanted it to work out. So I didn't really feel like I was going in there to prove myself. I just needed to, like, not crash and burn, which I did, you know, prove myself enough to get to the next phase. Like I said, I don't think I was blowing their mind as I walked in as this guy that was like, my goodness, this is the guy who's going to replace Peter Cetera, which ironically, when we got into record, Chicago 18, David Foster was not sold on me, and I didn't blame him, because we gave demo tapes to him that he was thinking, whoa, maybe we don't have the right guy. And I'll to the day I die, I take a bullet for Robert Lamb and the guys for standing behind me and saying, sorry, you're working with him. He's our guy. Now, if I didn't pull it off, of course, I would have been replaced. But having given me the chance, I walked in, and it was a crazy feeling, because I had known David. David, you know, we had met, and so he liked me. It wasn't that he didn't like me. It's just this was an important move. I walked in, and it's another thing I tell up-and-comers, you know, you're stressing out over this stuff. It's either going to happen or it's not, and it's either meant to be or it's not, and there's a certain part of fate that comes into it. I walked up, and he said to me, you want to try one? Meaning a vocal pass on the first song we did. And I go, yeah. And in my mind, I'm thinking, here it goes. This is going to be my one and done. But man, the red light went on and I felt comfortable.
Awesome.
And I won him over and we drilled that record. And you know what? From that point forward, it's been so wonderful, because I never have to wonder what it's like to go up in front of a modern day Mozart and it's the war is won. The war is won. So
I found out I was going to talk to you a couple days ago, and I got very excited. And in my head, I have had Will You Still Love Me for the last, like, 2 days, nonstop in my head. So I got to ask, what was it like creating that song and performing it for people all around the world?
Man, thank you so much for that, because that is the turning point. When we got in, like I said, we started the record, and luckily we recorded my song, my one song that I had on the album first, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. So I was just saying to myself, just do what you did on the demo, which got you the gig. And it was a really, really good recording that we had, the demo. So I said, just go in and breathe like that. Go in and do the exact same thing that you did. Try to recreate it, which that's the point where I was thinking, if I'm just going to crash and burn and just, you know, choke, basically, I wouldn't be able to do what I did. But that's what felt comfortable. I was able to just go right back in and do what I did on that song. So then, like I said, we're up and running and just flying through the record. There was no problem. We really didn't get stuck on anything. We were just, I was so inspired working with David Foster and Humberto Gatica, and there's Bill Champlin most of the time standing right next to me with background vocals, and he was doing his lead vocals, and Robert Lamb was singing a bit with us, but it was mainly me and Bill. And then we get to Will You Still Love Me, and I just knew hearing it what an amazing song that was. And I was so inspired, man, that we just, again, we flew through it. We got to the background vocals at the end, and Tom Keene, who co-wrote the song, and David Foster were singing the backgrounds with me on it. Will you still love me? Just say you love me. Stay around. That's me and Tom and Foster. So we finished the record, and then all of a sudden, this thing's released, and it's one of the biggest Chicago hits ever. Number 3, pop. And I'll never forget going to the gym with Robert Lamb one day, and we're walking up. We're on the road, and we walk up to the counter, and Will You Still Love Me is playing on the radio. And he looked at me with this beautiful smile and said, that's you, man. I mean, that's the coolest. Dude, that is the coolest thing in the world, because you're in the club. You're in the family. You delivered. And to this day, when I hear from people like you, and I see it a lot, because now that, you know, these blurbs and press are going out there about Generation Radio. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing our generation saying, you're the guy, and it was Will You Still Love Me, and this is what lit me up. So that's what we're doing with Generation Radio. We're bringing all of that. You know, we're playing some of the 70s stuff, but we're really honoring the 80s, because that's my era.
What I think about is, and it's awesome that they play it on the radio. That must have blown your mind. So I appreciate you telling that story. What about, like, just cover bands on a Friday night all across the country? There are cover bands playing that song. Does that blow your mind when you think of these songs you've created?
Yeah, because like I said to you, I always considered myself, well, you're the afterthought. However, all of a sudden you look smack in the middle of the 80s when I came in, and we made, Champlin and me, you know, with those ballads, made half of the 80s hits of Chicago. And when you realize that's your legacy, that's like when Rascal Flatts sends you a letter saying, "You, Chicago made us want to play music, and you're the guy, and here's why." Jay DeMarcus took me out on the road with a band that he produces, a Christian band called Avalon. And on the way back from this event that we were at, they put If She Would Have Been Faithful on the system. And these people, incredible singers, suddenly start singing, and they're copying all of my licks, like the nuances. I was going, wow, that's mind-blowing, because it's what you're saying. That is, that music has influenced not only fans but artists, and, you know, for generation, you know, a couple generations now. And I went on a rampage one day looking for covers of Will You Still Love Me. And across the globe, in Philippines, all over the country, all these incredible renditions of it. And then you see the comments of people all over the world in their 20s right now saying, this is the most beautiful music I've heard. This is my favorite song, blah, blah, blah. It's mind-blowing, man. I'm so honored, seriously.
Dude, that's awesome. We're here with Jason Scheff. He is with the new band Generation Radio, which is going to be at Laurie Wilson Park May 21st. If you want to go, tickets are available. Let's end with this. And I like doing this with every musician. You are a performer. So take me through the process. Before you hit the stage, what's the routine? Do you take a nap? Do you eat something? What happens exactly, buddy?
You know, one of the greatest things of being in the band Chicago is this. it's like the most normal environment. You know, we warm up, you know, we warm up vocally. Drummers are warming up their hands, guitars, basses, and keyboards are warming up their fingers and everything. But we're just having conversations like this. No, like, special chanting, incense, nothing wrong with any of that stuff. But for me personally, it was such a perfect thing to get involved because it was basically not pretentious and just really, you know, matter of fact. Any other thing that's just so beautiful about having been brought into that family is that it showed me that this is where you're supposed to be. It's your comfort zone. So there's nothing weird about it. And so we just, you know, as we do in Generation Radio now, it's just, we hang out and just, you know, have some laughs and then all of a sudden walk on stage. And I'm just glad that it always felt comfortable to just get up there and take that stage and just not feel like overwhelmed and nervous. It's the comfort zone. It's like where we're supposed to be. And now, you know, at 60 years old, I just turned 60. It just makes sense to see these people, especially through this pandemic and what was taken away from us, that this is our soundtrack. And now I see the responsibility that it's not about you, meaning us that are delivering it. It is a collective, and the fans and the musicians are all part of this thing that has to happen because it's a celebration of life. So we're over the moon to come down there and play for you guys. So
that's awesome. Great answer, man. We're here with Jason Scheff with the band Generation Radio. They'll be at Cocoa Beach coming up on May 21st. Jason, I really appreciate coming on. I'm excited you guys are hitting the road, and I can't wait for the concert coming up on the 21st, man.
We'll be there.